You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, to chapter 11. We're going to begin reading at verse 19 and read through verse 26. That's a little bit different from what's printed in the bulletin. Acts 11, verses 19 through 26. And then we're going to turn the page to chapter 13 and read the first three verses. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. That is, what we believe and how we act. Therefore, to know God's will for our lives and God's way for us to walk, we have to listen to God's Word. So, hear what God may be saying to you in this portion of Holy Scripture. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, you'll remember Stephen was one of the first deacons to be elected by the church, and he got in a confrontation with the Jews, with the authorities, and they stoned him to death. And the violent reaction of the Jewish leadership to the Christian church was such that they fled. Those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. Now, at this point, you need to remember that the Jews were the early church, and sometimes we forget our Jewish heritage. Our roots are in Judaism, and the first Christians were all Jews, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So then, now at this point in time, the preachers begin to break out of the Jewish confines and begin to speak to the Goyim, the Gentiles. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. Isn't that exciting? A revival broke out in Antioch, and a lot of Gentiles were converted. Now, in Jerusalem, the original disciples and some of the relatives of the Lord, his brothers, formed a sort of council that was overseeing the growth and development of the church. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Now, that's rather amazing that he could come and he could see the grace of God by what was going on. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a large company was added to the Lord. My grandfather lived across the street from me as I grew up, and he was a doctor in a small rural community in Mississippi. When he died, and my grandmother had this verse put on his tombstone, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So now here Barnabas comes to Antioch, and there's a revival breaking out, and all of these Gentiles are getting converted, and they have no Jewish background at all. Now, what does he need to do? Well, he needs to find somebody who can come in and pastor these people. And he remembers, listen, there was a Jewish rabbi who was well-trained, who got converted on the road to Damascus. If I can just find him, he'd be the ideal man. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people. And in Antioch, the disciples were, for the first time, called little Christs or Christians. Now, if you'll turn the page to chapter 13, the first three verses. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Now, something exciting is going to happen. Something that's going to... Now, here at Antioch, the bounds have been expanded as the Gentiles are preached to. Now, the missionary enterprise is going to begin. The bounds are going to be expanded even more. But this doesn't happen in a vacuum. Look what's going on while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. It's in that context the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Now notice here that it doesn't say that he called Barnabas and Saul and they came to the church and said, we want to be missionaries. Instead, the Spirit speaks to the whole church here. You set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. Now, our meditation this morning is entitled, Let the Fire Fall. This is the fourth in our series on Let the Fire Fall. The one this morning is entitled, Pyromaniac Loose in the Church. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now as we come to pray before the sermon, let me just share something with you. Last week I was very ill as I was preaching. You just lifted me up and God blessed that sermon. And today I'm better. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm feeling much better. But I really worked on this sermon about missions because I really wanted God to cut our hearts about world missions. And I wrote the sermon twice, and it's still not what I felt that God wanted to do, that somehow I was hindering the free flow of the Holy Spirit. But what happens as the sermon is preached doesn't really depend on me or what I say. What it depends on is the Holy Spirit working to take whatever I say and apply it to your heart and to cut your heart. So, you know, forgive my inadequacies this morning. And as we pray, we're going to do it silently. And I'm going to ask each one of you, if you will pray that God will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to you this morning and pray that He'll also speak to those seated about you. So let's pray. A pyromaniac is someone who has a compulsion to set fires. Pyro is a Greek word meaning fire. Mania is another Greek word meaning an excessive enthusiasm or an obsession or a compulsion. So that's why a pyromaniac is somebody who has a compulsion to set fires. Now in the early church, the Holy Spirit was a pyromaniac. He was always setting a fire of one kind or another. In our scripture for today, we are told how the Holy Spirit set the missionary fire. The church in Antioch let the Spirit get loose in its midst, and the next thing they knew, a missionary fire was blazing away. And that fire really got out of hand. Within a span of a few short years, fires were burning all over the world. One of the sad things about today is that most of those fires have gone out. Not many fires are left in the world today. Not many churches are burning with fire today. And so often, all we have is cold, dead ashes. No light, darkness. Spiritual coldness. Death. That's too bad, isn't it? Back during World War II, many of you will remember the blackouts we had all over the world. Some of you young people will be surprised to learn that even here in America, on the East Coast and the West Coast, many of the cities were frequently blacked out because there was a fear that submarines would surface and shell the shore, and that even happened once or twice. But here was the world blacked out, and our hearts longed for the day when we could turn the lights back on, because that would mean the war was over. And we had a song we sang that expressed our yearning. I just wonder how many of you can remember. Hold up your head. Do you remember that song? Hold up your head. What was it? When the lights go on again all over the world. Well, in so many places, the missionary fires have gone out all over the world. Many churches have gone out all over the world. And there's a longing for the lights to come on again, for light to shine in darkness. Let me give you some statistics. The number of people in the world to be reached for Christ has doubled since 1900. You would think that the Christian faith was making incredible progress. The number of people to be reached for Christ has doubled since the turn of the century. By the end of this century, and that's only 17 years away, the number will have tripled. Here's some more information. The world population is growing by 73 million people a year. By the end of this century, the world's population will be approaching 8 billion people. And of that number, only 28%, or about one-fourth, will even profess to be acquainted with Christianity. And of those, only 2% will be affirmed born-again Christians. Could it be that of 8 billion people, 98% of them will be lost? Lost. Lost. Does that word bother you? Does it prick your conscience or cut your heart that most of the people of the world who are alive at this very moment will be lost eternally because they either didn't hear or couldn't believe the gospel? Did you know that it is highly likely that someone sitting perhaps on your pew or behind you or in front of you is lost this morning? Why isn't that pyromania of the Holy Spirit setting missionary fires today? Why is the church so cold, so dead? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit call men and women and set them apart for the missionary enterprise? Why? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Why? Do you know the answer? Do you know why the Holy Spirit isn't running loose in the church today, setting missionary fires? Let me suggest there are probably several reasons. First of all, you can't send fire if you don't have fire. Or to put it another way, you can't give what you don't have. The church at Antioch was on fire for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there in Antioch a great number believed, and as Scripture said, they turned to the Lord. God's grace was evident in the life of the church. The Bible tells us that when the leaders in Jerusalem heard about the revival in Antioch, they sent Barnabas down to see what in the world was going on. And the Bible says that when he came, he saw the grace of God. I wonder if anybody can see the grace of God at work in our denomination. Can anybody walk in here and see the grace of God? So the church in Antioch was on fire. A lot of people were believing in the Lord. God's grace was visibly evident among them. And then the Bible goes on to say, and a large number was added to the Lord. The whole point is this. There was a fire burning at Antioch. The church there was on fire because the Holy Spirit was at work in their midst in a powerful way. As a matter of fact, they were so zealous for the Lord, they were so eager to be like Jesus, that the people began to laugh and call them, look at the little Christs. Isn't that what the Bible says? And in Antioch, the disciples were for the first time called Christians. So first of all, the church at Antioch was on fire for Jesus. It could give fire because it had fire. Do you think that's true today? The number of missionaries being sent out by our denomination is declining. We have less missionaries today than we had 20 years ago. Our church, since I've been here, has supported a lot of missionaries. For example, down in Japan, where he was a medical missionary, we supported a doctor there in Brazil. Do you know all of them have come home?
Why is that?
Is it because we as the people of God have burned out spiritually? Is it because we're no longer on fire for Jesus and we can't give what we don't have? What about us right here at Central? How many missionaries have we sent out to foreign fields? Now, it's true, in recent years we've had a steady little stream of young men going into ministry. But to my knowledge, in the whole history of this church, we've had only one minister go overseas as a missionary. And just recently, one of our young persons has gone out to be with the Wycliffe Bible Translators. And you remember, this church was established in 1844. And as far as I know, in all that time, two missionaries? Is something wrong with our fire as a denomination? Have our fires at Central burned low? Now, that's the first reason that Antioch had fired to sin. It was on fire itself. The second reason the Holy Spirit could get loose to set fires was because the Spirit can only get loose among a holy people. Do you remember what happened at Antioch? The Bible says, what were they doing? They were worshiping and fasting. Then the Holy Spirit began to erupt among them and speak to them. Is that why we don't have as many missionaries today as we once did? Is it because the Holy Spirit is chained up, locked up by people who are not a holy people? Do you remember what was going on the first time the Holy Spirit came in power for that first Pentecost? How did that happen? Well, the Bible says in the first chapter of Acts that the disciples, that little band of 120 people, were in an upper room, and the Scripture says all these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. It was in that context of holiness that the Spirit could be let loose. Is our denomination a holy denomination? Is our presbytery a holy people of God? And for that matter, is this congregation a holy people? Are we worshiping and praying and fasting? Why, we're having a Wednesday noon prayer time all during Lent, 20 minutes. Inviting people to come and let's be a holy people and let's pray. And we're lucky if we have 50 of us here. Are we providing the spiritual atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can be loosed and set loose to burn His missionary fires? I suspect God isn't going to send out missionaries in great numbers until we are first on fire for Jesus, to have fire to give, and secondly, until we are a holy people. Do you know that 1/4 of the world is closed to the gospel? I saw some report the other day that China, for the first time in many, many years, has just finished a census of its people. And for the first time in the history of China, their population has gone over the 1 billion mark. That's almost a fifth of the world's population. And China, with 1/5 of the world's population, is officially atheistic, a communist nation. But even Italy, which professes to be, you know, almost 100% Catholic, do you realize that the atheistic communist party has 1/4? Or more of the population of Italy on its rolls. Almost 40%, 39% of the Italian people belong to the Communist Party. Did you see in the papers yesterday where the Pope visited in a country which is now communist and atheistic, and he was jeered and ridiculed and made fun of, and he's one of the greatest religious leaders we've had in this century, and being scoffed at and ridiculed by atheists. Why is all of this happening? Is it because there are no truly holy people of God where the Holy Spirit can get loose to do his work? Back at the close of the last century, the late 1800s, a French scientist named Pierre Berthelot made some predictions to a couple of writers with whom he was talking. And those predictions seemed absurd at the moment, but they have come amazingly true. He said that mankind would develop indescribably awful weapons. Grimly, he told them, "We are only beginning to lisp the alphabet. We're only beginning to lisp the alphabet of destruction. You know, we're infants lisping the alphabet of the kind of destruction that we're going to have." And he added that he feared the human race might destroy itself. One of his visitors, one of the writers, spoke up. "I think that before that time comes," he said, "God will come down like a great gatekeeper with his keys dangling at his waist. And he will say to the world, 'Gentlemen, it's closing time.'" Well, a lot of us are wondering today if it's close to closing time. Have we become so insane, so warlike, so greedy, so unholy, that God is ready to bring this failed experiment on earth to a close? Gentlemen, it's closing time. I don't know what hope, if any, this world of ours has. We just seem bent on destroying one another and ourselves. But I do know this. Whatever hope our world has is going to come, that hope, is going to come out of a holy people who are worshiping and praying and fasting so that the power of the Holy Spirit is unleashed in the midst of the world. Listen, don't look to security for the future, to computer chips or planes or ballistic missiles. It's the work of the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed by a holy people that is our only hope. Is there anywhere a group of holy people who are the kind of people where the Spirit can work? Are we here? Can we be that kind of people? The third reason spiritual fire swept the ancient world was because there were people willing to be sent. First, there was fire to send because they had fire at home. Second, the Spirit could work among them because they were a holy people. But third, the Holy Spirit could send out fire because there were fire carriers. Fire carriers. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And then the Bible says of these two, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went." There was somebody to carry the fire. Are you a fire carrier? Every Christian ought to be. We ought to be carrying the fire of salvation into our homes. We ought to be carrying it into school. We ought to be carrying it into the office. We ought to be carrying it into the neighborhood. But beyond that, God needs men and women who carry the fire to the far corners of the earth to set such a blaze that light shines in darkness. I wonder, is there some young boy, some young girl, is there some young person listening to my voice this morning whose heart God may be touching and calling? As the ranks of our missionaries are depleted, who will step in to fill the empty space? I pray that God will raise up those who will carry the fire. But the fourth thing I want us to notice is this. There has to be a fire to send. There must be a holy people where the fire is let loose, where the Spirit can burn. And there must be those who carry the fire. But above all, there must be those who send the fire. We can't all go and carry the fire, but there must be those who send the fire. Do you remember what our scripture for this morning said? It said, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. You see, in fact, the whole congregation at Antioch was called to mission. It's true that Paul and Barnabas were the two who carried the fire, but it was the whole church called to mission. Does that make sense to you? The sent can't go without the senders. That's the only way missions will ever work. We not only need missionaries, we need missionary congregations, peoples of God, who are called to be senders. Next week we're going to have a missionary conference here at Central, and I hope all of you will participate. But as we think about missions, there are some things we need to ask ourselves as a people of God right here. Do we have any fire to send? That is, are we on fire ourselves? Secondly, are we a holy people, the kind of people among whom the Spirit is free to work and explode? Third, are there those of us who are called to bear the fire, to carry it, to carry the flames? And fourth, are we a people senders of fire? Are we the kind of people who are willing to pay the price and send the fire to a lost and dying world in darkness? Maybe we need to redirect that. It's so easy to say, do we as a congregation, because you can point at each other and say, well, you know. Let me rephrase it. Can the Spirit work through you? Are you on fire for Jesus? Can the Spirit work through you? Are you willing to pay the price to send the fire? If you can't say yes to all of those questions, let me make a suggestion to you. If you can't say yes, ask a pyromaniac like the Holy Spirit to begin by setting your own heart on fire. Let me share with you the last verse of that hymn we sang a moment ago. The warning bell of judgment tolls. Above us looms the cross. Around are ever dying souls. How great the loss. O Lord, constrain and move thy church, the good news to impart. And Lord, as thou dost stir thy church, begin within my heart. That's where it starts, isn't it? Your heart on fire. Let us pray. God, so many of us have cold hearts. The Spirit can't work in a cold heart. Dead ashes. Lord, set our hearts on fire. Set this congregation on fire, that we'll have fire to send and fire carriers, that we might be fire senders. Set the fires among a holy people, beginning with me, in His name, who says, go into all the world. Amen.